backwards, his blood spilling too. Whistling again, I head down the stairs at the side, stopping to admire my handiwork. Not bad for being in such a rush. Leaping down the last three rungs, I step over the bodies lying across the floor, their guns useless beside them. They never stood a chance. When I get to the middle of the room, Ryder is sitting in a chair. His shirt is covered in blood and his guns are on the table next to him as he leans back, sniffing at a bottle of something before tossing it away. Garrett is leaning against a crate, cleaning off his bloodied knuckles. I got him, Kenzo calls, before dragging over a man wearing jeans and a stained top. Stupid idiot asked if he knew who he was. Apparently he's the leader. He tosses him at Ryder's feet, who leans down with his arms between his legs. Is that right? Do you know who I am? He asks. Fuck, I love this bit. I giggle when Ryder slowly rolls his sleeves back, exposing his tats. Better answer him, I yell. Oh, I know who you are, the man snarls, getting to his knees. He tries to get to his feet, but Kenzo presses his head down so he remains seated. Good. This makes this easier. Who hired you? Ryder inquires casually, still rolling back his sleeves, methodically, slowly. Fuck you, he snaps. Why do they all keep saying that? Ryder smirks and stands, grabbing a blade from the table. He holds it in the air, letting it gleam in the light. Then let us begin. I want you to know from the start what will happen to you. I offered you a way out, now there is none. I will cut off your fingers, and while you're still screaming, I will flay the flesh from your arms. Then I'll start on your feet. I will, of course, cauterize the wounds so you don't bleed out. You will talk, obviously, but understand I must make an example of you now. I will cleave your body into pieces and ship them across the city as a warning. The man doesn't seem so brave anymore. He's sweating and his body is shaking. I'll tell you, God, I'll tell you everything. Ryder sighs. Yes, you will. He grabs the man's hand and starts to cut off his fingers. I'll tell you, please. He screams desperately as he struggles. So I step in and hold him still, watching his face as Ryder chops one finger off. He's going to puke, I observe calmly. Nah, fiend, Garrett counters. Both, Kenzo interjects, and we all watch as Ryder starts on the next finger carefully and coolly. Kenzo was right, the guy pukes. I'll skip away to avoid it, and then he passes out, landing in his own vomit. Fuck, I hand over 100, and so does Garrett. Ryder sits back on his heels and waits for him to wake up. He does rouse eventually, though only after I whip out my dick and start to piss on the idiot. He chokes on it as we laugh, and Ryder starts up again. Before he gets to the second hand, the guy is sobbing like a baby and spilling everything, including who hired him. The triad. They're trying to wipe us out.
They said once you were gone, they were going to divide the city and we could have this side,
he cries. I laugh at that. They would have killed you too, idiot.
Never work with the bastards. They never keep their word.
Ryder looks pissed. I suspect if they want a war, they're going to get one.
So I can go?
The guy whimpers. I smirk and Ryder grins. Now you're going to be a message, like I said. Now please hold still and try to breathe. This will hurt. We all sit back and watch Ryder's handiwork. I did learn from the best, after all. I might be cruel and crazy, but Ryder, he knows exactly where to cut, where to hit, where to slice to inflict the most pain. I'm pretty sure he would have made a good doctor in another life, you know, if he wasn't such a bloodthirsty bastard. The man prays for death before it's through, and he dies in pain and alone, knowing his own mistakes are to blame. I find some boxes, and Ryder places the man's limbs in each one. Arms, legs, hands, fingers, cock, head. Laughing, we seal them up and carry them out to the cart with us. By the time we're done, it's early and the sun is almost rising. Let's go home. Ryder shrugs into his jacket, frowning at the bloodstains. Yep. I wonder what the little bird is up to.
23. Roxy. Flush, bitches! I laugh, laying the cards on the table. Read them and weep. Tony groans, his big frame stuffed into the dining room chair where we are playing poker. He looks like a gorilla, but the man version. He's actually very sweet, though. An ex-SAS soldier who couldn't fit back into civvy life. I've learned that a lot of the guy's security ires are the same. All men with nowhere else to go, no other place to fit or call home. My guys gave them that and a payslip. Fuck! How do you keep winning? Sam snarls as he throws down his cards. He's skinnier than Tony, but also massive compared to me. His long brown hair is tied back at the base of his skull. She has to be cheating, Dem snarls. Now him? He's an asshole. A rude fucking bastard who thinks women should be seen and not heard. It's my great pleasure to prove him wrong. Even the others seem to hate him. Pope is still patrolling the apartment and keeping watch, but the others were just sitting there, so it was getting boring. I searched Kenzo's room until I found some cards and challenged them to a few rounds of poker while we waited for the guys. There is no way I'm sleeping until they are, so I might as well earn some money. I grabbed the notes and stuffed them down my bra, smirking at Dem. You're just a sore loser, especially to a woman, I laugh, and his eyes narrow, nostrils flaring. He's a good-looking son of a bitch. It's a shame about his personality. Yeah, and how's it feel to be a toy? He snaps. I arch my eyebrow at that, leaning back as I sip my beer. I don't know. How does it feel? You act like a walking, talking dick, so you must be a dildo. Sam and Tony roar with laughter as I hide my smirk behind the rim of my bottle. The sun is almost rising behind us, so the guys should be back soon. I ought to put this all away before they return and get pissed at me for distracting their security. You fucking bitch! Show me your cards! He snarls, reaching over, but I clutch them and pull them to my chest out of principle. He grabs my wrist and twists it, making me gasp as he tries to get them. Sam and Tony get to their feet, their eyes hard. Let it go, man! Not until she shows me the cheating bitch! Dem sneers. We're locked in a stare down when the door opens. Fuck. Our eyes slowly go to the doorway where the guys are now standing. Blood coats them from head to toe, mainly Diesel and Ryder. I even do a double take at the usual cold Viper. His sleeves are rolled back, exposing his blood-stained forearms, but under it, I spot tattoo sleeves which finish at his wrists. I was not expecting that. His jacket is thrown over his shoulder, his hair ruffled, and his perfect skin is almost completely coated in red. They're all smiling, until their gazes land on Dem and me. Then their amusement bleeds away to pure fucking anger. Shit. I'm dead. Hey guys, have some fun? Did you bring me a present? I ask, filling the silence as Tony and Sam step away. Their arms are behind their backs, their eyes once again empty as they stand before the window, leaving Dem behind, who's still gripping me, showing me and the guys exactly how much they don't like him. They don't even try to get him away before the guys react. Shit, shit, shit. Ryder steps forward, those icy eyes freezing me in place. He's so beautiful and deadly, it almost hurts. And the anger, fuck. I want to bathe in it. Diesel looks pissed. He circles the room to the left, and Kenzo goes to the right as Garrett slams the door and stands before it, his arms crossed and face snarling. Ryder drops his jacket on the floor and steps farther into the room, eyes on us. What's going on here? Oh, you know, just playing some poker to pass the time, kicking your men's asses, I smirk, twisting my wrist until Dem lets go. Hiding it quickly under the table, I rub at it, knowing there will be red marks. But Ryder spots the move and strides across the room. Dem jumps, falling from his chair to avoid him, but Ryder doesn't notice. He crouches next to me, kicking the table away until he can gently grab my arm and holds it up. For some reason, I can't look away from the blood spattering his long, lean fingers as he slowly turns my wrist, glaring at the red marks marring my flesh. Dude, it's fine. We were just messing around. I tried to tug my arm away, but he resists. His eyes roll up to me as he leans down and kisses the irritated skin. No one touches what's ours. No one hurts you, love. he murmurs, before getting to his feet, his mane transforming. His body turns hard, his face blanks, and only then do I realize just how much he had been showing me. He turns his head slowly to look at Dem, who holds his hands up, fear written across every line of his face. His eyes dart around the room, his chest heaving.
Look, man, we were just having some fun.
He called her bitch, Tony adds helpfully.
Ryder, I try, getting to my feet, and then suddenly someone is there and an arm slips around my waist, yanking me back into a chest.
Little bird, watch and learn what happens to those who cross us.
Diesel whispers into my ear, his hard cock pressing against my ass.
He's a dead man walking. No one touches you, no one hurts you, no one insults you but us. You are ours,
he snarls, before nipping my ear in punishment. I'm silent, unable to look away from Ryder, who stalks Dem around the room before cornering him against a wall.
Ryder, I'm sorry. I'm sorry it won't happen again,
Dem cries out, his voice warbling in fear. That misogynistic, strong asshole is withering under Ryder's gaze. He takes him down with no words, just a look. It's all he needs. He strikes fear in the heart of his enemies when he's in his suit. But now, like this, with his enemy's blood coating his body, his rage pouring from him, he's downright terrifying. And a little bit of a turn-on. Okay, a big turn-on. Fucked up doesn't even begin to describe me, but I gave up fighting that a long time ago. If watching a powerful man covered in blood scare the shit out of another man, while his brother holds me and whispers dirty nothings in my ear, makes me wet, so fucking what? Everyone has a kink, and the vipers and everything they entail seems to be mine.
You touched her?
Ryder questions, his voice quiet and deadly. Dem freezes, his eyes wide, like an animal when faced with a predator, because that's exactly what Ryder is.
I didn't mean to, he whispers.
Diesel chuckles in my ear, rubbing his cock along my ass.
He's going to destroy him. You should have seen him earlier. It was like poetry in motion, little bird. So much blood, and the way he carved through flesh.
He shivers against me as he wraps his hand around my neck to stop me from moving, his thumb resting on my hammering pulse as he forces me to watch Ryder. It's silent, just their breathing is audible. And then suddenly Ryder strikes. He grabs Dem, who is taller and wider than him, and slams him into the coffee table. The glass cracks, but doesn't shatter. Keeping a hand on his head, he grabs Dem's hand and slams it next to him, away from his body.
Hammer,
Ryder demands. A moment later, Garrett hands him one before going back to his post, but I can't look away. I can't speak. I watch with a sick satisfaction. A warmth spreading through me at what Ryder is doing. For me. It's fucked up, but no one has ever cared before. Not enough to hurt someone because they hurt me. Never mind touched me. With no warning, he brings the hammer down on Dem's hand. He screams and thrashes, but Ryder easily holds him. Dem's fingers and hand are a broken, bloody pulp before Ryder grabs the other hand, smashes it down on the table, and does the same to that one. Standing up, Ryder releases the man, holding the bloody hammer loosely in one hand. It's then I realize I'm almost panting and rubbing myself back against Diesel, so I stop, and he chuckles in my ear.
You love it, little bird. You called her bitch,
Ryder asks, dropping the hammer to the floor.
You dare insult our princess.
Dem quiets his screaming, blood dripping from his busted lip where he must have bitten it. I glance over at Tony and Sam to see them smirking. They knew what would happen. They have seen the vipers in action before. A scream jerks my head back around, and I turn in time to see Ryder cutting out Dem's tongue. I want to gag, but Diesel's grasp on my throat stops me, and the warmth pooling in my belly makes me wonder if I really care. He was an asshole, that's for sure. But does he really deserve this? It's not my choice. Ryder tosses the tongue away as the man screams pathetically, his ruined hands coming up to try and grip his face as blood pours from it. Will he die? I query, and my voice is strangely calm.
Maybe. Wouldn't that be fun? I bet it's excruciating, don't you?
Diesel whispers. Ryder steps back, looking at the man in disgust. Tony, Sam, take him away. I want guards outside the front door at all times while we're in here, Pope. Whenever we leave, you sweep the place for bugs and explosives. Same with the cars. I want someone monitoring CCTV at all times. No one comes and goes without a reason or a pass. Yes, sir, they all reply, before grabbing Dem under each arm and starting to drag him away. They don't look at me as they do. In fact, they avoid me completely. I know why now. Because of Ryder and what he'll do. It's saddening. I like them. And now I'm back to just having my vipers to keep me company. Not my, just vipers, I remind myself, as Diesel lets me go with a quick lick of my neck, which has me shivering and him chuckling darkly. Kenzo comes into view then, and he's smirking at me and running his eyes down my body. Did he touch you anywhere else, darling? I could kiss it better, he offers, and the room goes quiet as they wait for my answer. You fucking wish, I spit, crossing my arms as I glare at them. So I'm not even allowed to play poker now? Oh, you can play, darling, with me. I might even let you win. Better yet, we can play strip poker. Kenzo purrs, his tongue licking his bottom lip as he runs his heated eyes down my body. I try to ignore the warmth that gathers between my thighs and look away, turning my glare on Ryder. So that's it? Someone touches me and they get their hands broken? I snort. Going to hunt down all my exes too? That's not a bad idea, Diesel whispers, making Garrett laugh, but I ignore them as I step closer to Ryder, angry now. Cause let me tell you, they touched me all over. I grin, a dark one. Going to kill them also? What about anyone who looks at me? You possessive fucking assholes! I'm not yours! I almost yell. He steps closer, his eyes cold and locked on me. You are. You better start accepting it, love, but keep pushing me, I dare you. I swallow and tilt my chin back. He doesn't scare me, not even after what he just did. Not because I know he won't hurt me. He would if he needed to. If I became a threat, he wouldn't hesitate. But because I know Ryder. I understand him, and everything he does is for his family. He's angry, he's cold, he's calculating, and very smart. And very fucking dangerous. Why? Going to break my hands too? I challenge, stepping closer. No, just tie me up. Keep me at your mercy. Cause I gotta tell you, even that crazy fucker stands more of a chance than you. His eyebrow arches and he goes silent. I know I've pushed him, but I can't seem to stop. What? Nothing to say? Big bad Ryder lost for words? Or maybe you just don't know how to act with a woman who has a brain, who you can't buy off, who isn't fucking scared of you, I snarl. Oh shit, I hear one of them say, but I don't look away from him, staring him down. Leave us, Ryder snaps, eyes on me as I stand there. Good luck, little bird, Diesel laughs as they all leave. Fucking traitors, I hiss, as I stare at Ryder with my hands on my hips. What, going to punish me for having fun? I inquire snottily. No, for letting them touch you, for distracting them, he offers calmly, as he unbuttons his shirt one button at a time. My eyes watch his deft fingers as he exposes more and more of his golden tattooed skin. It covers every inch of him. They are here to protect you. If you distract them, they can't do that. He reasons as the shirt falls open to expose his perfectly chiseled chest, making my mouth water. He's built like a god, all perfect edges. You let him touch you. How the fuck do I stop someone from touching me? I snap, but my voice is breathless. You will learn. Each time someone touches you, they die. Remember that. It doesn't matter who they are, I will kill them, and you will know it's because of you. You cruel fucking bastard, I snarl as he steps closer. Yes, I am, love. Better remember that. I stare, unable to help it. The same design as Kenzo's tattoo is on Ryder, but it seems to start on his back and wraps around his side. The snake curves around his peck and ends above his heart. The tongue is out and so lifelike, I can imagine it flickering, those red eyes locked on me. Ryder throws me off balance. I'm used to being the scariest one in the room, but he scares me because in this room I'm nothing. All that money, all that power, I should hate him. But I don't. Not even a little bit. He craves my complete control, but my surrender as well. Total surrender. But I'm so used to fighting. And when he peels back all those layers of stubbornness and hate, what will he find underneath? That terrifies me. That's why I lash out. Why I push at them, poke and prod until we all explode. What? Is this when I'm supposed to fall to my knees and beg for forgiveness? I laugh. Not my style. Go fuck yourself and your stupid fucking vipers. I'm done with you all. It was the wrong thing to say.
24. Ryder. Roxanne turns to walk away, so I snap out my arm, the reaction directed by my own anger and need. How dare she? She doesn't get to walk away, she has to pay for her actions and words. Grabbing the back of her neck, I yank her around to face me and crash my lips onto hers. It wasn't planned, but I can't help myself. She isn't allowed to walk away from me. Not now, not ever. I would kill everyone in this fucking world for her, anyone who ever dared hurt her. She doesn't get to turn her nose up at that and act like a brat. Not when there's a scarred, hard-ass survivor underneath. She can't know the true depth of feelings I have for her, that even though I try to stay impartial, that I try to hate her, I can't. Because I'm falling in love with her. She freezes for a moment before melting ever so slightly, her lips fighting mine, meeting me head-on. It's hard and angry, a fight like always with her. It's a duel, a battle for dominance, as I open her mouth and slip my tongue inside, tasting her sweetness. It explodes across my taste buds, the flavour of her now branded on me. And I know this was a mistake because I'll never be able to go back. Never be able to not touch her, taste her, now. I just put my family at risk, and I can't seem to care with her in my arms. All that anger, all that bravery and attitude, and she melts against me so easily. My little broken princess. She seems to realise it and tries to push me away and starts to fight. Thrashing uselessly in my arms, she bites my lip until I taste blood, like I would ever let her go. No, she will be mine tonight. Tonight I will satiate my lust. Let all this desire for Roxanne out, and tomorrow... tomorrow I can be the viper I need to be, to protect my family. But for one night I'll be selfish. I will damn the consequences and take what I want. Her. Chuckling huskily, I pull away, ignoring my pulsing cock as it aches to be buried inside her when she fights me like that. No. She needs to learn obedience first, to surrender to me and my control. Only then will I let us bathe in pleasure. I feel the pounding of her pulse against my hand as it lazily wraps around her throat. Leaning down, I murmur against her lips, unable to help myself. There is nowhere in this world you can go, nowhere you can escape us, princess. I crave her heat, her body, her mind, even her fight. She is my ever-growing weakness, a grey area blooming in my dark heart and stretching its colour across my soul. Until I can't help but want to be a better man for her. To be the man she deserves. But I will never be, so instead she gets me. She will have to learn to survive it and get used to it, because I have a feeling she's going nowhere. I want to punish her, maybe scare her, but I can't seem to help myself. My cock is running the show now. I'll sate my desire, then go back to keeping a cool distance. I can still control this, control her and how I take her. Want a fucking bet? Let me go and we'll see. She sniffs, but her lips are bruised from our kiss. Her chest pressed against mine so hard, I can feel her stiff nipples just begging for me to play with them. I can see her need in the way her pupils are blown wide with lust as her gaze tracks down my face and back to my lips again. And in the slight tremor of her curvy body as I hold it against me, Roxanne hates that she wants me. Feeling is mutual, love. Let you go, I smirk, never. Now it's time for your punishment. She freezes against me and I chuckle. Didn't think you were getting off that easy, did you? I push her away and she stumbles back, suddenly looking nervous, her chest heaving and cheeks adorably tinting red. Circling her, I pick at the long shirt dress she's wearing, the fishnets underneath, letting me glimpse her pale, tattooed skin. Needing to regain some control, I push her until she's bent over. Stay, I order as I stand behind her. Flicking open the button on my trousers, I slide my belt through the loops until it's free, the noise loud in the silent room, and she shivers in anticipation. I tuck up her dress to expose her ass in tiny red knickers, and I have to bite my knuckles as I stare at her to stop myself from dropping the belt and going to my knees to worship her like I ache to. I want her to slam my cock inside her wet heat and hear her scream for me. Me, not my brothers. But I rein in that impulse, only just, my years of careful control shaky in the face of my greatest challenge. She's wet. I can see it. Fuck. Shifting my cock in my trousers, I try to ignore the urge to just rip those taunting knickers away and thrust into her tight little pussy. No. Punishment first, then control. Only then will I have her. Ryder, don't you fucking... I'll bring the belt down on her unprotected ass. She hisses and falls forward, but I catch her around the middle, and when she's steady again, I rub my hand across her plump, silky ass, massaging in the burn before I swing the belt back and land it on her ass twice more. She cries out but stays standing, profanities and insults leaving her lips. But she doesn't move, doesn't fight me, because she wants it. She wants my brand of control. She wants to surrender to me. She wants to be consumed by me, and I want that too. Good girl. Pushing aside her knickers, I feel her freeze against my fingers as I expose her to my gaze. I lick my lips and stare at her glistening lips. So wet. She smells delicious, and I bet she tastes just as good. Running my belt buckle across her center, I watch her cry out and push back, wanting more. Laughing, I snap her underwear back in place, and when she can't see, I lap some of her juices from my belt, groaning at her taste. So fucking wet, love. Tell me again how you hate us when you're dripping for my cock. Fuck you, you cocky son of a bitch. She whimpers as I bring the belt down again. Dropping it to the floor, I bite my lip at the redness across her ass. My marks. It's hot as hell seeing her like this. But she's had enough punishment, and so have I. If I don't have her soon, I'm going to come. I reach down and squeeze my cock. Not yet. I need her to understand who's in charge. Who owns her body as well as her mind. She needs to give herself over to me completely, and only then will she get the pleasure she seeks. I can't let her know how affected I am. How easily she breaks my control. Turning away, I give myself a moment to breathe, and when all those roiling emotions are under better control, I sit down on the sofa, legs spread and arm thrown over the back as I stare at her still bent form. I run my eyes greedily down her thick tattooed thighs and plump red ass. She's fucking glorious, the most magnificent creature I have ever seen. She shifts uncomfortably, and I take pity on her. Stand. She hesitates for a moment before doing as she's told, whirling to face me, making me tut. I didn't tell you to turn, did I, princess? Shirt off, I demand. She bristles at the order, and I narrow my eyes. Do I need to take the belt to your plump little ass again, love? I will, and this time it will end in pain instead of pleasure. When I give you an order, you do it. Shirt off, now. Let me look at what I own. I command. You don't own me, asshole. No one ever could. Not you, not your fucking brothers. There isn't enough money in the world to buy me. She snarls, and I have a feeling she's right. It's more of a pretense now that she's ours. We all know Roxanne is not a kept woman or a toy. She's a fucking wild card. But she still does as she's told, because even though she fights it, she wants us to. With a snarl, she rips off her shirt, baring herself to me. I let my eyes run across her exposed skin, Her full breasts are heaving in a see-through little lace number, her rosy nipples pointy and staring at me. Her belly is curved and her waist is tucked in, perfect to grab onto and toned with a shining jewel pierced through her navel, begging me to trace it with my tongue. Her thighs are rounded and delicious, and I can see them wrapped around my head as I tongue-fuck her cunt. Her legs are long and lean, and I can't wait to have them draped around my head either. She is goddamn beautiful. So beautiful it hurts. All pale, silky tattooed skin, thick thighs and attitude. A combination I didn't know I would find irresistible, but my cock jerks hard as I store every detail of her body in my memory. Every dip, curve and scar. She parts her legs, head tilted back as I drink her in, unashamed in her own body. Nah, Roxanne owns it. She doesn't strive to make it what she deems perfect. She doesn't go for plastic surgery or alterations like so many in our world. She's comfortable and confident in her own skin, scars and all, and it's sexy as hell. Not to mention the tattoos painted across her skin like the finest works of art. That's what she is, a work of art. One I'm going to stare at for the rest of my life. What next, arsehole? Want me to crawl to you as well? She scoffs sarcastically. Hiding my grin behind my hand, I rub my chin before dropping it to my lap. Yes, actually. Wait, what? She squeaks before clearing her throat. I mean, what the fuck? Leaning forward, I narrow my eyes on her, warning her not to disobey me. Crawl to me, love. She sucks in a deep breath, debating whether or not to ignore me, wondering what it will mean to do so. But she wants the pleasure I have to offer. She wants me more than she hates me right now. Fuck! She shouts as she sinks to her knees. I hate you! She tosses it at me like barbed wire. Oh, I just laugh, though, since she says it so often it's becoming an inside joke now. If she didn't say it, I would start to get worried. It's better than her saying she loves us. She can't do that, but this? Hate and desire? This we can do and survive. She drops to her hands and, eyes defiant and hard, starts to crawl towards me. She doesn't even mean for it to be sexy. She's too angry for that, but the way her body sways, her tits full and almost tumbling from her bra, her ass swinging temptingly, fuck! It's so goddamn sensual, I nearly burst in my trousers. Having her at my mercy is addictive. Seeing her on her knees before me, a beautiful sight. She stops when she reaches me, chest heaving in anger and lust, then leans back on her heels before she grabs my thighs and digs her nails in, making me chuckle. Even now she fights, even when she knows it's useless. I will have her. She will be screaming my name. Those little claws slashing down my back as I fuck her for everyone to hear and see. Those men she befriended, the girls outside the door, listening to whom she belongs to. Take my cock out, I order, hiding my shaking hands as I watch her. She grinds her teeth but reaches up and unzips my trousers. They hiss loud as she finds me bare and hard underneath. She gasps, her lips parting temptingly, and those dark eyes drop to my cock hungrily as she wraps her hand around it and pumps me as she pulls me out. Tut tut, behave, princess. I stifle my moan at the sight of my cock in her tiny pale hand. At this one little woman controlling me so easily with just one fucking touch. She squeezes me, making me groan before I can catch it as a smirk curls her lips. Where is the fun in that? You want to control my every action because it means you can distance yourself from it. Well, fuck that. If I have to be your goddamn slave, you don't get to act the aloof asshole. You want to fuck me? Then fuck me. None of these games, none of the defences to keep me away from you. Make it hurt, make it good, I don't fucking care. But stop trying to be this cold motherfucker when I can see how badly you want this. Want me? I'm still at that. How did she know? I'll search those eyes because she's smart and the same. Her bravery and toughness are an act to keep people away. To stop them from gaining control over her. To prevent them from hurting her. I see it in her gaze. She hurts them, pushes them away first so that they can never hurt her. Not again. You want my control, my coldness, love, because without it you wouldn't survive me, I admit. She tilts her head defiantly, squeezing my cock again and making me thrust up into her hand. Try me, she dares. I freeze at her words, staring into her eyes as she stares right back. She doesn't know what she's asking, what she would unleash. You have a death wish. I smirk to cover my unease at how quickly she's destroying my defences. Everyone dies, plus I could have died every minute of every day with you guys, but I haven't. I've accepted it will happen, so try me, Ryder. Show me what you're so scared of, what you don't show anyone else, and if it kills me, so fucking what? No one will miss me. That's a fucking lie, I would. I would miss her so much it sends a pang through my icy heart. To never hear her laugh again, to never see her challenge me, defy me. No. I would miss her. My brothers would. They would kill me if I hurt her. I watch her for a moment, trying to hold back, but I can't. Her touch, her words, it crushes my control. It tumbles all my carefully built walls until everything I hate surges forward. The pain, the anger, the fucking need to cause damage. To wreck everything, to destroy everything good and beautiful. Like her. To consume and take. The traits from my father I try to fight, his very last gift. Making me exactly what I abhor. Him. I grab her and lift. She gasps and places her thighs on either side of me, her head higher than mine as I grip her thighs and hold her against my hard cock. Letting her feel what she does to me, even though I can't speak the words. Even though I can't give her that power. Reaching up, I pinch the clasp on her bra between her ample breasts and it flicks open, her breasts tumbling out into my waiting hands. I lean down and suck one of her nipples into my mouth, groaning when she whimpers. So I suck harder, digging my teeth in slightly, unable to help myself. Pleasure and pain go hand in hand for me. She cries out, arching into me as I roll her other nipple between my fingers. Gasping, she tangles her fingers in my hair, gripping it and sending a spark of pain through me as she rocks against my length, taking what she wants from my body. She's unapologetic in her need and pleasure as she holds me close. Releasing her peak with a pop, I give the other the same treatment before leaning back and watching her pant and writhe against me, her wetness soaking through her knickers. Her breasts are magnificent, I can't stop staring. Fuck. How beautiful would they look with my marks across them? Disrupting those pale globes with all that soft skin marked up for me. I resist the temptation, leaning down and grasping some of her skin between my teeth, biting until she cries out. Releasing her flesh, I lift my head to see my teeth imprinted across her breast. So I turn my head and bite the other one, leaving my marks. She whimpers but pulls me closer. Stroking her hip through the pain, I let go and look at my masterpiece with satisfaction. Next time she can wear my whiplashes. I'm thinking she would love it. Ryder, she gasps, rocking harder against me. I lift her and rip off those fishnets and knickers and toss them away before bringing her back down to my cock, pulling her back and forth across it. I let her coat me with her wetness. She whimpers again, her eyes dazed with pleasure as she feels every inch of me that will soon be inside her, marking her until no other will do, making her ours forever. You're going to ride me right here, I demand, leaning down and pressing my cock to her tight little entrance. My greedy little girl rocks harder, trying to sink down, but I hold her still, forcing her to look at me. She doesn't get to distance herself if I don't. She will know who's fucking her. Who is in charge of giving her such pleasure she can't handle it? As soon as those eyes meet mine, I drop her, impaling her on my cock. We both groan. She's so fucking tight, so wet. Gripping me like a silken glove, her inner muscles stretch around me. She sways harder, instantly moving, not waiting a beat. We're both too desperate to go slow to savour it. That will come later. We're both scared that if we slow down enough to think about all those worries, all those factors pulling us apart and making us enemies, we'll stop this. Ride me. Fuck yourself on my dick until you come, I order harshly as I lean back and watch her. Her body rolls with her movements, her breasts jiggling from the force of her thrusts. My cock is buried deep inside her as she rides me, doing just what I ordered, taking her own pleasure. It's goddamn breathtaking to watch. I can't help but reach out and grip her winding hips, feeling each and every movement as I fight to thrust up, to grab her and take her hard and fast, just pounding into her. No, this is about her. Her hands come up and pinch her nipples. This isn't a show, she's enjoying herself. I can feel her wetness dripping from her pussy, coating me. Sliding her hand down her stomach, she reaches her clit and starts to rub. Moaning, her head falls back as she writhes and rubs, chasing her release. I'm so close, she whimpers, but I don't help her, I just watch her. And with one more flick of her fingers, she comes all over my dick. She cries out, her body seizing and shaking, her pussy clamping down on me as she rocks her hips through her release. I have to curl my fingers into fists at her hips to stop myself from moving. It's the sweetest fucking torture. Only when she slumps do I take over, showing her exactly how much I want her, how wild she makes me. Grabbing her hips, I lift and drop her on my dick, thrusting up and impaling her on my length. She cries out, her eyes flaring wide as she peers down at me. She's fucking stunning with her chest flushed from her release, her skin sparkling in the sunlight with her sweat. Those noises she makes driving me mad. But I want her screams. She's had her fun, now it's my turn. She wants me, all of me. Buckle up, love, because you're about to get it. Standing, still buried in her cunt, I switch positions, dropping her onto the sofa as I quickly shed my trousers. Usually I stay dressed, but I need to feel her skin against mine. I come down above her, holding myself up and slam back inside her tight pussy that's quickly becoming my favourite fucking thing. Her legs automatically wrap around my waist, trying to pull me back to her body, her chest arching as she takes me deeper into her wet heat. You're so fucking beautiful, I murmur, licking down the valley between her breasts as I thrust into her over and over. She's so slick I can get my full length inside, dragging it across her nerves as I reach down and rub her oversensitive clit, making it hurt just as much as I make it feel amazing. She screams, her nails raking down my back and cutting my skin. That pain sinks into me until the last of my restraint snaps. Groaning, I let go of my control. There's no rhythm or rhyme as I fuck her with deep, powerful thrusts. Harder and harder, chasing my own release, uncaring as she fights me. Her legs pull me closer, even as she continues to thrash. Her nails slice through my flesh and I feel it part, the blood starting to drip down my skin. It only makes me harder, my face scrunching into a snarl as I lean back on my heels and grab her thighs, dragging her ass into the air in one smooth move. She's so perfect, too perfect. My little fighter. Watching my cock thrust in and out of her wet heat almost has me spilling. She's too easy to lose myself in, too tight, too wet. Too damn beautiful it hurts, and I can't hold back even though I want this to last. I hit that spot deep inside that has her clawing at the sofa, her head thrashing as she fights me. Come, I order, not recognising the sound of my own gravelly voice, needing her to find her release before I can. I'm so close, too fucking close. This never happens. I always make sure they come at least three times before I do, but with Roxanne I can't help myself. This isn't a chore. Something to tick off my list to sate my body. I want her with every fucking fibre of my being, so much it hurts. I want to paint my seed across her chest and into my bite marks. I want to take every inch of her body with my tongue and cock. But that will come later. For now, I want to fill her, and I can't hold back any more. She destroys me, and knowing she'll walk around with my cum slipping from her, everyone knowing and seeing she's mine, has me rearing up above her as my hips stutter. Now, I demand as I flick her clit. She screams a release into the quiet apartment, her pussy clenching around me so tightly I have to fight her channel until I can't fight any more. I roar with my own release, filling her with my seed. She whimpers as I thrust through it, my cock softening as I slip from her. Panting, she shakes beneath me, her body spent as her eyes open and clash with mine. I'm struggling to breathe too, and my walls lie in splinters around me so she sees what I hide underneath. My blood coats my back from her nails, my cock wet with my girl's release. Fuck, that was hot, she purrs. Next time, don't hold back. I want it all. Next time? Fuck, she's going to kill me and I might even let her. But her eyes are drooping, and I know she didn't sleep because she was waiting up for us. I need to look after her better. We need to sleep. I gather her into my arms and stumble from the sofa, my legs weak. She giggles but snuggles closer. She's too tired to fight me right now. Not that she would, I think. I should shower and get ready for the day. I have a lot to do, but I can't seem to bring myself to as I head upstairs and into my room. Laying her on the bed, I slip into the bathroom and grab a cloth, wetting it before I return to her. She doesn't even oppose me or shout as I part her thighs and clean her glistening pink raw sex. I can't help myself. I lean down and kiss her pussy, and she groans and kicks me away, making me laugh. Tossing the washcloth in the basket, I slide into bed and draw her into my arms. It feels natural, right. But it's strange. I'll never sleep with women, never mind cuddle, but I want to. And when she drops her head onto my chest and slips into sleep with quiet, cute snores leaving her lips, I can't help but close my eyes and drift off, pulling her closer. What is she doing to me? I need to be careful before she destroys us all. It's my duty to protect them. But how can I when I want to burn in her flame? When her venom is racing through my veins, telling me that she's exactly where she's meant to be, and so am I. Changing me. Mending me. Freeing those emotions I hold back from everyone. Tomorrow, or I guess later today, I'll put my careful walls back up and slip into a suit, changing back to the cruel leader of the vipers. But here and now, with her sleeping against my chest, our legs entwined and fingers laced together, I let myself be weak. For just a moment. For her.
25. Roxy. When I wake up, warm, satisfied and yawning, Ryder is gone. I remember him carrying me into his room, into his space and cuddling me. But he's gone, and all evidence of our time together is absent, apart from the ache between my thighs and the bite marks on my chest. Lifting the sheet, I see they're still there, red and raw. It makes me smirk. It was fucking amazing, what we did. I came so hard I couldn't even see, and watching that ice melt into pure desire was addicting. All those walls hide such an explosive person underneath, and I have no idea how he does it. Turning over, the sheets wrapping around me like silk, I look out of the window to see the sun almost setting. Shit. Did I sleep all day? Usually I'm up after a few hours to open the bar, but I'm getting lazy being here. Slipping from the bed, I grab one of his white shirts and do it up before sneaking downstairs. Unluckily for me, Garrett and Diesel are there. Garrett is shoving something into a bag at the table while Diesel watches. They both turn at my entrance. Diesel's smoking, his eyes running over my body. Garrett looks at what I'm wearing in disgust. Ever since the restaurant, he's distant again, almost disgusted with me. Or him, I'm not sure. Where are you going? I ask, knowing I have no reason to be ashamed of what I did with Ryder.
None of your fucking business, Garrett snaps. To a fight. We're going to see if we can find anything else and plot a few rumors. Want to come?
Diesel questions, ignoring Garrett's snarls. Sure, let me get dressed, I grin. Garrett slams his hands into the table.
She's not fucking coming. She can stay here with the guards until Kenzo and Ryder get back from work.
Nah, that's boring. I'm coming, I offer with finality, before turning and trotting away.
Fuck's sake,
I hear him yell. Wow, someone is pissy today. Maybe he needs this fight. Might help him with his anger issues. I have a quick wash before getting ready. I slip into some ripped shorts and one of the new shirts they bought me, tying it so my stomach is exposed. I put on some makeup and my kick-ass boots, and I'm ready to go. I grab my leather jacket and slide my knife into it before heading out to meet them. Garrett takes one look at me and storms through the front door. Diesel laughs and grabs me. This will be fun. We ride down in the elevator in tense silence. I spot Tony and Sam at the bottom, so I wave, but Diesel drags me to the car. I get in the back with Diesel and stay quiet as Garrett peels out of the garage. We drive for around 20 minutes before pulling up at another parking structure. He cuts the engine and climbs out without a word. I follow after him, the slamming of my door loud in the car park. Diesel meets me around the front of the car, while Garrett is already reaching the side door of the building with his long strides. He bangs on it twice and it opens, music and screams pouring out. Who are they? The greasy man barks, looking at me with a leer. Garrett steps into his path, blocking me from his view. With me. The man snorts but steps back. I got a slot up in 10, get ready. With that, he's gone. Garrett glances back at me and seems to debate something before sighing. Stay close. I reach forward and clutch the back of his shirt. He freezes before ignoring me and winding through the crowd. The music is loud, the sound of flesh hitting flesh audible even from here. Garrett smacks and shoves people to get through, and Diesel follows to stop people from pushing me. When we reach the front, Garrett's head cranes before he heads over to some old crates in the corner of the ring. He turns, grabs my hips, and drops me on top of one. Stay here. Do not fucking move, and shout if you need anything, he orders. I nod, and he steps back before pulling his shirt over his head and tossing it at me. I catch it automatically, even as I drool at his chest. The scars make me wiggle uncomfortably as my pussy pulses. He's a goddamn machine, and his torso is carved for girls' wet dreams. I hold his shirt on my lap as he turns and kicks off his boots, and then he lays his weapons on my lap before, with one more narrow-eyed look at me, he heads into the ring where someone is being dragged from it unconscious. I'm going to see what I can hear. Stay right here. I'll have my eyes on you at all times, Diesel murmurs, before dropping a kiss on my cheek and blending in with the crowd. I look for him, but I can't spot him through the throng. However, like he said, I can feel his eyes on me, as well as others. I turn and meet their stares. They're confused as to who I am, but no one dares approach me, and honestly, I don't blame them. I walked in with Diesel and Garrett, two scary fucking bastards. Even if they don't know who they are, they can sense a danger, so they stay clear. Garrett is up next, and they announce him as Mad Dog before a really big guy steps into the crude ring opposite him. Then I can't drag my eyes away from him. He needed this, I realize, to let some anger out. This isn't a game or a way to gain information. He needed to fight like he needed to breathe. His body is finally relaxing, his shoulders rolling as he cracks his neck and a nasty smile curls his lips. My pussy basically starts a Garrett fan club then, pom-poms and all. He waits for the other man to move first, the crowd screaming his name, but they all fade away as I watch the bunching of his back muscles, knowing he's going to move. He ducks the punch, dancing backwards on light feet, teasing his opponent. Hey, odd stuff, wanna party? A voice slurs in my ear. I jerk my head around and realize I was so distracted a man has snuck up on me. He grins, flashing crooked yellow teeth at me. His slick back hair is greasy and unkempt. His blue eyes are lackluster, and his skin is pale and clammy. A junkie. I would recognize the signs anywhere without having to see the track marks. Get lost, I snap, knowing Diesel will be over soon. Oh, come on, I can show you a good time, he mumbles and grabs my leg, on my bare thigh. Before Diesel can kick his ass, I clutch his hand, twist it back, snap his wrist, and use it as leverage to turn him around. Do not fucking touch me, you piece of shit, or I'll kill you, understand? I snarl and push him away. He owls but glares at me, stumbling closer, his bad wrist held against his chest. I pull back my fist and slam it into his face before grabbing Garrett's gun and clicking off the safety. Pressing it to his forehead, I meet his eyes with an ice-cold glare.
I will pull this trigger without hesitation. I don't fucking care. I'll kill you. Can you see it in my eyes? He nods, fear wafting from him. Good. Better run before I do. He stumbles away, swearing as he pushes through the crowd that gathered to watch. I watch his progress until he's near the door, and he disappears. Turning back, I realize the fight is paused. Garrett is watching me, his eyes heated with desire and anger. He nods and I nod back, letting him know I'm okay. A small smile curves his lips as he turns to his opponent. The crowd starts cheering again then, but they make sure to give me space. It's strange, them being afraid of me when Garrett is in the room, but I keep the gun close in case anyone tries anything else. You can never be too careful in the underbelly of the city, and that's exactly where I am. I might be with the Vipers, but I refuse to sit here looking pretty while someone attacks me. I can handle myself, and I will if I need to. I go back to watching Garrett fight, but somewhere in the crowd, I hear a male scream that makes me smile. I'm betting Diesel has found the man. What a shame. Eventually, the crowd relaxes around me, their attention back on Garrett, who's kicking fucking ass. It's hot as hell to watch, and I have to clench my thighs together, my lip caught between my teeth as I watch him. No wonder they call him Mad Dog. The crowd's whispers drift to me. I hear some saying that I'm the Viper's girl, and not to mess with me unless they want to turn up dead, which makes me laugh. I guess they aren't wrong. I hear other rumors, spoken out of jealousy and fear, the words murmured as they glance back at me, knowing I'm with the Vipers. I try to listen, but after I hear a few snippets of conversation about a disemboweled man and a massacre, I focus on the fight again. Garrett is a machine, fucking art in motion. His body is a giant weapon, each hit strategically placed and filled with such power that I can see it. His style is raw and wild, his anger leaking out. It takes him over completely until he barely sees his opponent. He just fights, getting all that aggression out. They have to hold him back twice as they switch his challengers, but he wins each fight, and when he's done, he's sweating. His chest is heaving, his hands are covered in blood, and his face is dark. He ignores the applause and dramatics, instead leaping from the ring and heading over to me. He plucks his bag from the ground. Diesel, he snaps, his face dripping sweat which I have the strangest urge to lick. He was listening in, I offer, just as the man in question appears next to us. Let's go. He nods, and Garrett storms away. The crowd parts for him as I hop down. Diesel drapes his arm around me as we follow the angry man. Everyone watches us in fear and respect, and I tilt my chin higher at that. Diesel drives home, and Garrett ignores us the entire way, his head turned as he glares out of the window. When we get back, he prowls through the apartment into his room, slamming the door behind him. Diesel slips away as well, and I'm caught in the hallway, unsure what to do. For some reason, I follow Garrett, feeling like he needs me. I open his door and slip through to see him standing there, his body taut and angry, his feet bare. He whirls and glares at me. What? Are you okay? Want me to look at your hands? I offer sweetly, softly, like you would approach a wild animal. Fuck off, he snarls and turns away again, as if he can't bear to look at me. So I step into the room and slam the door. He wants a fight? Then fine. No, want to talk about it? About what? He snaps, his built shoulders tensing and drawing up, preparing to argue. The thing eating you up, I press, leaning back against the wall. He spins and rushes me, slamming me into the wall. His arms land on either side of me, caging me in as he leans closer and glares at me. I told you to fuck off, he roars in my face. But his eyes are lost, wild, searching and hurting. He's heartbroken. Let me help, I whisper. His eyes close for a moment.
You can't. No one can. I hate that you saw me like that.
He trails off. With a self-disgusted snarl, he rips away from me, his hands running through his hair as he starts to pace. That's what he cares about, that I saw him lose control. Oh, my damaged viper. I enjoyed it. Watching you beat the shit out of those people? It was hot, I admit, unashamed that I was turned on as I observed him.
He ignores me, so I carry on, trying to pull him out of his self-hatred. Really, it was. All that power in your body, it's sexy as hell. The way they look at you, the way they fear you. You're untouchable. He stops, his back to me, chest heaving. I want you, I state, taking a shot. He shudders, so I step around him, my eyes meeting his, knowing I'll have to take the first step with him. I'm wet from watching you.
Get out before I kill you, he warns,
but there is desperation in his voice. He doesn't want me to leave. He doesn't mean it. I can see it in his face, in his eyes. He wants me to stay. He wants me to fight this for him, with him. Help me. I see it written across his features. I wonder if no one else has ever looked under all those layers of anger to the scared, damaged man crying out for help underneath. His fights, his anger, all a way to protect himself. He needs someone to push him, to rip him out of it, but it might just kill them to do so. Then why am I willing to try? He's my captor, my enemy, but I can't walk away from him. Nah, I don't think I will. You want this too. Want me? So why not just give in? I grin.
What makes you think I want you when I can't even stand to look at you? When I hate you, hmm? Tell me, baby, what makes you think you're so fucking special that I would fuck you or let you touch me?
He grinds out. I revel in his anger, refusing to be intimidated and back away like everyone else. He's lashing out due to fear, due to anger. I know that because I do it myself. Because you're hard. Because you watch me when you think I don't notice. Because you imagine fucking me even if you hate it. I lay the challenge down, and he doesn't disappoint as I reach out to touch him. With a snarl, he grabs my wandering hands before they can touch his chest and wrenches them behind my back, forcing me upright, back bowed as he leans down. Hatred and need gleams in his eyes.
Don't you ever fucking touch me, or I will kill you. You want me? You're so desperate for cock that Ryder and Kenzo ain't enough. Fine.
He drags me over to the shower stall in the bathroom. With one rough, scarred, bleeding hand, he rips off my top and shorts and tosses them away, his eyes running across my skin in disgust before he flicks on the water. He kneels down, still holding me, and grabs my boots, throwing them behind me before getting back to his feet, his hand tightening on my wrist so it hurts. Pushing me down to my knees, he ties my shirt around my hands at the base of my spine so I can't touch him. I'm unbalanced, kneeling on my heels before him as he sheds his shorts, his hard, naked body before me. Every inch is stacked with muscle. His body is deadly, a weapon he uses every day. His chest isn't ruined like he thinks. It's a masterpiece of pain and suffering. The rest of him is so stunning I can barely breathe. His cock is hard, long and thick, and leaking and pointing right at me. Water rushes across me, plastering my air to my head, cooling my overheated body. I don't care. He blocks a spray and grabs my head, forcing my mouth open before slamming his cock into it with no warning. It's not polite, not that I would expect that from him. It's cruel. A punishment for me and one for himself for wanting me. I hold on as best I can, just a puppet for him to use for his desire. Like the outlet his fighting provides for his anger. He channels it all into me. His cock so hard and thick and long, he hits the back of my throat. I have no choice but to breathe through my nose as I roll my eyes up to his. He meets my gaze with a groan, his hips stuttering before he slams back into my mouth, harder than before.
Don't fucking look at me like that, like you want this, he snaps.
But I can't help it. I do. Each hard stroke of his cock in my mouth has me wiggling on the cold tile, my pussy dripping. He takes what he wants. It's rough and hard. My lips bleed from it, his movements filled with hate and disgust and lust. He pounds into my mouth, uncaring if he hurts me, and when his thighs clench, his abs rolling, he roars his relief, shooting it down my throat. with a disgusted snarl, he pushes me away, slipping from my mouth. Licking my damaged lips, I watch as he turns and without a word strides from the shower. His ass flexes as he pushes out of the room, the door almost ripping from the hinges in his rush to escape me. He leaves me there, wet and bound, with tears tracing down my face and blood and cum spilling from my lips, my own wetness dripping between my thighs. That's how Diesel finds me. He takes one look and whistles. Flicking off the water, he crouches down, his thumb rubbing at my aching lips, unconcerned about the cum. Keep pushing, little bird. You're the only one who can get through to him, and if you don't, we might lose him forever. He undoes my bindings, gently lifts me into his arms, and cleans me off before taking me back to my room and tucking me in. It's soft and sweet and brings tears to my eyes. This crazy bastard is growing on me. Who would have thought? And what did he mean about Garrett? I know he hates women. It's easy to see somewhere in his past one hurt him, badly. Did she just turn down his proposal? Is that what the ring was? No. It's something worse, I can feel it. But I doubt he will tell me. It's clear, though, Garrett is trying to hold himself back from me. But like two crashing cars, we're drawn to each other. Who will make it out alive?
26. Kenzo.
Bollocks.
Don't matter as we pull up outside the spa. I forgot to say goodbye to Rox. Ryder snorts but slips from the vehicle, and so do the guards we brought. I hop out and lean across the roof of the sports car, waiting for the SUV to arrive with the guards.
What? I heard you two last night, brother.
I wiggle my eyebrows. His lips curl into a satisfied smirk, even as he rests his arms across the car like me. So, unlike you, baby brother, I can separate sex and feelings.
Uh-huh. So they might have just smacked Garrett this morning for being too loud and almost waking her.
I taunt. He rolls his eyes but loses the smirk. She needed to sleep. I couldn't be dealing with her brattiness.
Sure.
I grin as I round the car and we head towards the spa.
Then why did you tuck her in and kiss her goodbye when you thought no one was watching?
He freezes, his head swivelling to glare at me. What have I told you about spying on me? Laughing, I clap him on the back.
Admit it, Rye. You like her too. It's cool. I don't mind sharing because I'm not crossing swords with you.
He sighs and puts his hand on the door. Can we please stay focused on why we are here?
Right. Threats, pain the enemies, I got it.
I nod and he jerks the door open, the relaxing music of the spa drifting to us as we step inside with our guards behind us. Ryder refused to leave Tony and Sam behind. In fact, he made sure they were with us. And this idiot still thinks he doesn't like her.
We should get her some girly shit from here to make her feel more at home,
I suggest as I look around. A woman in a dress sits in the waiting room, rearranging her tits to show them off, and flashes a grin at me. I wink and lean closer.
Sorry, I'm taken, and so is he.
She slams, but grins and looks back down at her magazine. Whistling, I glance over to see Ryder glaring at me. We're taken, he repeats.
Sure are. You think Rox wouldn't kill any poor girl you brought back to hurt her?
If you haven't noticed, Roy, she's as nuts as we are. He shakes his head, muttering under his breath about idiot brothers and annoying women as he strides over to the desk and raps his knuckles on the curved wood.
I need to speak to Sandra now,
he demands, face closed and angry. The woman behind the desk shrinks, her face paling.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir, Sandra is busy.
Take a break, is he?
Sandra calls as she steps from the office behind the receptionist. She's a big girl, and I mean tall. Taller than Ryder, almost. Her curvy body is encased in a tight dress and heels. Her greying hair is pulled back in a taut bun, showing off her face, which is artificially lifted. Her lips are pink and way too plump to be natural. When she sees us, her eyes narrow. She's a scary woman, enough so to make my balls shrivel, but that's why we liked her.
Gentlemen, what a surprise. Please come through and stop harassing my staff.
She snaps before turning and, with the clicking of her heels, striding into her office. Leaning closer to Ryder, I smile and murmur. I like women, but that one is fucking scary. Still not as scary as Rox, though. Oh, I hid her bat in the weapons room. He ignores me and pushes beyond the desk, following her into the office.
I nod to Tony, who stops at the front door. Looking around at the patrons, I grin and announce, I'm afraid the spa is closed. Please leave. The women and men waiting start to object, so I flash my gun with a happy smile and they soon rush for the door. Tony slams it behind them and flips the lock. Sam trails after me and stands at the office door. But I pause and let my face darken for a moment as I look between them without Ryder here. I may not have reacted, Ryder may not have, but come close to our woman again, and it will be the last thing you do, I warn. And I watch Sam gulp as they both nod. Then, with a happy smile back in place, I pat his chest, slip in and shut the door behind me. Sorry about that, it seems everyone left, I comment with wide innocent eyes as I roll my dice across my knuckles, leaning back against the wall. Sandra glares at me, her legs crossed in her office chair and her hands tight across her stomach as she waits for Ryder to speak. He sits in the sofa across from her, playing on his phone and making her sweat. Literally, I watch as actual sweat drips down her face and she shifts nervously. She knows what she did, and now she's wondering if she will make it out of here alive. Ryder keeps her waiting, and I pull out my phone and shoot a message to Garrett to check on Rox. He sends me back a picture of her curled up on the sofa asleep next to him. His face is locked in a scowl in the picture, which makes me laugh. I forward it to Ryder, whose lips turn up in a smirk before he pockets the device. He looks up at Sandra and sighs loudly. We haven't heard from you in a while, Sandra, which is surprising, seeing as though we own the land you were built on. So tell me, if you aren't paying us back, where is your money going, We already know it's leaving your account. She balks at that, probably not realising we're more than brawn. I had some bills to pay and got behind, she replies, tilting her head back, but her eyes dart around nervously. Don't lie to me, Sandra. I've been kind to you, and it would be a shame for me to have to stop, Ryder growls, voice cold and deadly. You came to me with an offer, not the other way around. You needed our help. We lent you the money so you could run this place. Now you're trying to break your end of the deal. Darling, it doesn't work like that. I'm sick of paying, she blurts out before swallowing. I lose half my profit to you. We offer less repayment interest than banks, or did you forget that? Without us, there would be no spa. Ryder drawls. I could, of course, revert my loan, buy this place, fire all your staff, and tear it down. Or I could do even worse. How's your husband, Sandra?
Leave Mike out of this, she almost yells, making me chuckle.
Wish we could, darling, but Mike put himself into this. Did you know he likes to gamble? I remark conversationally, and she looks at me in confusion. Now, don't get me wrong, it was only every now and again until I showed him the addictive side of the city. I tried to help him. Sighing, I shake my head. It seems he was tired of being emasculated at home. He got drunk and told everyone. You're lying, she snaps. So I load up the video from one of my clubs. I only show her a split second of it before pocketing it again. So what? She says, but I can see the hurt in her eyes. So it drove him to addiction, and now he owes some bad people money. If he'd come to me, I could have helped him out, but he didn't. I put my hands out in a fake, placating gesture, an unkind smile tugging at my lips. Is he okay? She asks, looking between us. He could be. It all depends on your choice, Sandra. I can bail him out, but of course that money would go on top of what you already owe us, or I can leave him in their hands. Nah, they won't kill him for the first offence. No, just break his kneecaps. But unfortunately, as a builder, they seem rather important, don't they? I laugh, but it's not a nice sound, and she shivers from it. You fucking evil snakes, she hisses, as tears fall from her eyes, which she tries to swipe away, only smearing her makeup instead. No, darling, not evil, just businessmen. We gave your money a job. We got you off the streets. We kept an eye on your husband, who would be dead now without us. Yes, we like money and we profit from our business deals, but everything is not black and white. It's filled with greys, and we just happen to run the grey area. She turns around and slams open her drawer, scribbling a cheque before throwing it at Ryder. He pockets it. It's not about the money after all, but the fucking cheek of her not repaying us after everything we did for her. The bank would have taken her spa by now. Thanks, madam, I winked, reminding her exactly where we found her. Working in one of the triads clubs years ago. She averts her gaze, sniffling hard. I just wanted a different life, she whispers quietly. So low, we aren't meant to hear. We know, that's why we helped you in exchange for all that information. Your debt is almost paid, Sandra, so keep your head down and this place will be all yours before long. I offer nicely. Ryder rolls his eyes at me before getting to his feet. Do not make us come back, Sandra. And Mike? She whispers, staring at us with huge tear tracks down her face. I'll drop a quick text to the man holding him. I paid his debt just now. He's free, but maybe keep your eye on his spending and get some help. I play the role of the nice brother easily enough, and with a friendly wink I turn to leave. But my eyes catch on the shelves of products. Ah, we need some girly shit, I tell Sandra. She nods, tears still streaming down her face, and black mascara flowing in its wake. She's a mess. Take whatever you want, she whispers, looking away quickly. Thanks. Is this face mask good? I question, and Ryder snorts. Just take everything. I'm sure Sandra here can get more stock with the money she will be getting back from the triad. Isn't that right, Sandra? He challenges nastily, and she hastily nods. Grabbing a bag from the side, I dump all the stuff into it. I hope Rox likes it before throwing it over my shoulder and opening the door. Sam instantly takes the bag, his eyes still sharp, scanning our surroundings. Whistling again, I head to the door, and Tony opens it but goes out first, checking everything before nodding at us. We head back to the car, and when we're inside, I look at Ryder. We should get her some other stuff to make her feel at home. She is staying, isn't she? He grips the wheel. I don't know. Oh, come on, Ry, she's nothing like that, bitch. She doesn't even want our money. I laugh. No, she wants something worse. Her freedom. He glares at me then. She will never be happy being kept in our penthouse. She's not a kept woman. She likes to work. It's how she got by. I nod and look away. Then we give her a job, something, anything, because she's not leaving us. We couldn't give her freedom even if we wanted to. It would be a sign of weakness. And they have all seen her with us now. She would be dead the moment she stepped from the building. Ryder sighs and rubs his head. We both know that's the truth. By being ours, she has a target on her back. But I can't bring myself to regret that when it means I get her. Fine, let's get her some stuff and the other bits can wait. Firing up the Aston, he pulls into traffic with Tony and Sam behind us and does a U-turn to take us downtown to the shopping district. I fucking hate shopping, he growls. Flicking on the radio, I dance along to the music. Oh, I love it. How are we, brothers? He mutters. 'Cause all the anger and madness went to you, I laugh. He swears, and I ignore him and ring Garrett. Hey, we're nipping to the store, need anything? To be allowed to kill this fucking brat, he snaps, then yells louder. Then don't fucking try that shit again, before coming back to the phone. She's so annoying. You're sure I can't kill her? I heard that, asshole, Roxy screams in the background. I might not have my bat, but I'll still take you down, motherfucker. I raise my eyebrows at that. I thought you two had started to get along. He snorts, but doesn't answer. Ah, okay, so she's under his skin. We can work with that. Don't you fucking dare change that channel again, he barks. I'll leave you to it, have fun. I offer with a laugh before hanging up and looking over at Ryder. She's going to have him wrapped around her finger before long. He grins. No doubt, she already has you. Andy, did you hear he killed that drunken idiot at that fight? Ryder nods. Sloppy, but that's diesel for you. He parallel parks outside a shop, ignoring the no parking lines. We wait for Tony and Sam to get out and then they open our doors. We can't be too careful at the moment. It wouldn't be good for one of us to get shot just because we were sloppy. And with the bounty on our heads, they will all be coming out of the woodwork to try for us. We're hoping the German is one of them, which is why we are out and about. Bait. Heads held high and unafraid, we stroll into the shop. The greeter zeroes in on us straight away, recognising money, and his eyes light up. Gentlemen, how may I help you? Ryder points at me and pulls his phone out to undoubtedly answer all the emails piling up. Wrapping my arm around his neck, I pluck his phone free and pocket it. Oh, no, you don't. You stuck your dick in her too, so you have to buy her nice things to make up for your shitty attitude. He grumbles and glares at me, pushing me away. He tries to grab his phone, but I move back, laughing. The salesman doesn't even blink, pretending he can't hear our conversation, like all the best ones do. Catering to the rich and famous means you get deaf really quick or you don't last long. Fine, she needs more jewellery, he mumbles, making me clap my hands. Now you're talking. She needs more of those sexy bras and for sure some more of those boots. They are hot as hell. Ah, we should buy her some weapons, I sigh wistfully. He looks over at me. And when she uses them on us? I shrug. Probably only on Diesel and he would love it. And well, maybe Garrett, but he would just respawn like the devil he is. Of course, sir, if you would like to follow me, I will have my colleague Francesco escort you, sir, to the jewellery. Nope, we can go together. We are in no rush, I reply and wave him on. He inclines his head and leads us to the second floor and the jewellery there. What kind of shit do women like? I mutter. Anything expensive, Ryder snaps. Like fuck. You think Rox cares how much we spend? She would probably just throw it back in our faces and cross those little arms and put on a cute face and be like, I don't need your bribes, asshole. I mock, and his mouth drops at my girl voice. That was strangely accurate and a little scary. Fine, what shall we get her? He throws his hands in the air. You, server guy, what should we get a woman who doesn't give a fuck about money or riches and is rocker-like? He ponders that for a moment. Ah, I have some things that may work. Any in a snake? Ryder queries. The man doesn't even blink at the strange request. Right this way. He leads us to a small sitting area and then disappears. Leaning back in my chair, I look around at all the sparkling jewels around us. Shit. I remember coming to places like this with Dad so he could show off his new trophy wife. Ryder grunts, but I carry on. I always hated it, and the women. All I cared about was money. Yet we ended up with those types of women. Well, except now, with Roxanne. She really is different. Do you think it's because she genuinely doesn't know how much money we have? I don't think it would matter. She was brought up on nothing, came from nothing, and she has worked for everything she has. I believe Rox likes to earn her way. She wouldn't be intimidated here, but she would also insist on paying herself. Oh, Nod, he's right. He always is. He has a good read on people. Did you ever think this is where we would end up? He glances at me then, his face cold, but I know better. My brother has the world on his shoulders, always did. Even back then, protecting me from our old man, it made him sharp, cold and angry. No. I thought we would either be dead or still with the bastard. I nod solemnly.